Lifestyle is medicine when done right, especially food choices. It has the potential to eliminate 80% of chronic disease. Our mission is to be the trusted signal of truth based on the weight of the evidence that rises above the deafening noise of misinformation.
We offer you a no-nonsense and enjoyable approach to the fundamentals of nutrition and wellness. Our goal is to give you simple and actionable strategies so you can make smart, health-promoting decisions every day. Hello, and welcome to the True Health Revealed podcast. I am your host, registered dietitian nutritionist, Kathleen Zalman. And today, we have a really exciting topic and an amazing expert guest to give us the real truth about clean eating. Most people have no idea what that means, but yet that term is bandied around a lot as if it's a fad diet or you only can consume certain foods, you can't have convenience or processed foods. But there's really not much science to back up these recommendations. The truth is, there is no legal or government definition of clean eating. From a dietitian's perspective, it's about eating healthier, eating more of those foods that are closer to the earth. But yet, there's so much more. And today, my guest, Roseanne Rust, friend and colleague, also a registered dietitian nutritionist, and the author of the recently published Zero Waste Cooking for Dummies, which I promise you, you need to put on your reading list because it's an amazing tome of such useful information. Roseanne's a nutrition expert. She's an author. She's a blogger. She's the owner of her company, Rust Nutrition Services. You might have seen her on TikTok or Facebook with Chew the Facts. That's her brand where she provides a variety of nutrition communications to industry. And she is a gal who is based in science. So what we hear from Roseanne is really going to be based on what the evidence supports. So Roseanne, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Kathleen. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
It is my pleasure. So let's jump right in with clean eating because everybody wants to know more about it. But clean eating goes beyond the foods. It's not just about the foods. The broader context is keeping food safe and how you grocery shop and understand processed foods to what you eat and how we can be more stewards of our planet. So I want to really focus on reducing food waste, and obviously Zero Waste Cooking for Dummies is your new baby and something you want to talk about. But I want our listeners to know that we throw away 40% of the food that is produced in the United States, ends up in landfills, and it adds to the greenhouse gases and the carbon footprint. So tell us what your perspective is and, you know, what does clean eating mean to you?
I love that. I love that intro because, you know, I'll get into what clean eating means to me. But as you said, there's no regulation for that term. And I think that people who, you know, try to, quote, eat clean are doing so with health goals in mind, with, you know, nourishing their bodies well, and that's a good thing. But we need to maybe back up and clean up our kitchen a little bit, because that food that's wasted is a big deal.
Yes.
You know, it's, as I said, the intention is good in terms of wanting to eat wholesome food and sort of get back to basics. So that what clean eating means to me is that you are providing a balanced diet. You are eating a variety of foods, lots of fruits and vegetables, lots of whole foods, you know, the fruit or vegetable as they are, nuts, whole grains, fresh sources of lean protein. And of course, you're doing all of that in a nice, clean kitchen. You're avoiding foodborne
yes.
illness. You know, what I don't like about the term is that sometimes it is a little judgmental, and it might come off as a little restrictive, that if you eat clean, then there's a whole set of rules that you have to follow. And, you know, our lives just don't work in that strict, narrow set of rules. Everybody is in a different environment. They have a different household. They live in a different part of the country or world. So it's going to be a little different. Diets need to be personalized. And ultimately, I want people to enjoy what they're eating. I want them to eat for good health, but I want them to enjoy it. So I'm, you know, I've never been a dietitian who supports severe restrictions or eliminating entire groups of food. So there's really a lot to unpack with that term, clean eating.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think that I love your perspective because I think you and I embody it. I mean, we eat meat, we drink wine, we have our fun zone, but you know, for the most part, our diets are healthy and they're not only good for our bodies, but they're good for the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about the environment, because when we think about that 40% of the food that is produced in the United States lands up in landfills, it's not only the food, but think about the energy, the water, the resources, the transportation, the packaging. So it goes so much further. And so we really can have an impact if we can start to reduce how much food we throw away. So, you know, if I want to start a clean slate, where how do I get started in being a better steward of the food that's produced for my body and for the planet?
Well, I think the first step is to take a look at what you are doing now. You know, what does your kitchen look like? What's in your refrigerator? What's in your freezer? What's on your pantry shelves? Because, you know, in the United States, we are still a country of abundance and capitalism. So when we go to the grocery store, there is a lot of temptation going on there with buy one, get one, or things that are organized in a way by the front door to entice you into buying more. So I think that that's the first step, is that awareness piece. You know, what do you have on hand that you're not using? And then ask yourself, if you have things on the shelf or in the freezer that you haven't used, why aren't you using them? You know, do you not, you know, did you buy them because somebody told you they were healthy, but you don't like them? Well, that can lead to food waste too. And then from that point, it's really about taking a look at how you're going to go about getting food into your household, how you're going to utilize the grocery store or the farmers markets, wherever you shop, big box stores, in the most efficient way, so that you are going to have a plan for what you buy and use it, consume it. So it becomes nutrition and it does not end up in your garbage can, which goes to your local landfill.
That's right. I mean, the plan is incredibly important, but so is keeping track of what you have in your home.
Mm-hmm.
I keep a list of what's in my freezer because otherwise I'd forget.
Yeah.
And I make quite an effort to always look at it and say, okay, let me plan my meals around what's in there. And so I might be buying fresh produce to go with that frozen chicken or that frozen fish. And you know, one other thing I think might be really helpful for our listeners is, I remember when I was a dietetic intern doing plate waste studies. So I was sent into the cafeteria of the hospital where I was an intern, and I was studying what people threw away. And there's so much insight that you get from what you throw in your garbage. So I would add that to your list of, you know, as you're taking stock of what you have in your kitchen, pay attention to what are you throwing away? Are you always throwing away those bananas? When maybe you could just throw them in the freezer and use them for a smoothie at another date? Or what are you throwing away might help you become a little bit more enlightened. So then I think let's talk about going to the grocery store, because I'm one of those. Buy one, get one free. Come on, throw them in my cart. But luckily where I grocery shop, you don't have to buy two. You buy one and it's half price. So
Right. That, some stores do that. Some stores don't.
That's right. But I'm influenced by that. I do know never to go to the grocery store hungry. And why is that, Roseanne?
Well, you know, when we're hungry, our impulse control is not at its peak. And you're going to want to buy everything in sight because you're hungry. Whether you aren't reasoning very well when you're hungry.
Exactly. And there's a reason why they bake cookies, you know, that on premises. That makes you want to buy them. So, Okay, we'll start with a plan. So should you map out, like, you take a look at what's in your pantry, your refrigerator, your freezer? Do you think you should do a week's worth of menus, kind of plan ahead and try to calculate, all right, if I buy a chicken, Could I use it for one meal here and another meal here? How do you navigate leftovers and being conscientious about not wasting what you purchase?
Yeah, that can be one strategy. But, you know, at first, if, you know, as I wrote this book, I was on a journey as well. I started to think about my own habits that led to throwing away food. So you may not have to do a fancy meal plan. And I know some people that's very intimidating. Like, I don't want to plan what I'm going to eat for dinner for a whole week. I don't even know what I'm doing tomorrow. And that's okay. But you do have to have a general plan. So before you can, you know, cook something that you can use in multiple ways, you kind of have to back that up a little and start with the overall shopping plan. So again, I go back to what do you like to eat? Because I find that many people do purchase things because it's this almost a guilt thing. Like, I know this is good for me and I'm supposed to eat it. And they purchase it, but then they never finish them because they don't really like to eat them. And that's going to lead to food waste. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, you know, important to kind of sit back and say, what does my family or my household enjoy eating? And plan meals around that. Fruits and vegetables and dairy products are the top wasted foods because, fresh fruits and vegetables. Those perishable foods, they ripen, they go to waste more quickly. So if, you know, you're buying broccoli and it's sometimes a head of broccoli is a giant head of, and if you're only a household of two or three, you might not want to just eat the broccoli cooked one way, but how can you use it in a couple of meals? How can you purchase ingredients that are going to go through the week? So there might be some repetition in some of the food, but you're going to use it in different ways and then use it all up. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, is you mentioned, you know, looking at what you have in your freezer, understanding how to use your freezer and thinking about those buy one, get one free purchases. Can you freeze it? Even some things people aren't aware they can freeze are, I'll give you an example of a shredded cheese package. You're buy one, get one free. You buy two, maybe you're only going to use one through the week and you can put that other one in the freezer.
Really?
You know, the same thing with bread products. You can freeze those items. The important goal with freezing is to make sure that the item is airtight and well sealed. And I think also people think that putting it in the freezer is like a long-term thing, or they aren't used to using their freezer. So they put it in there, but they never open it again to get it back out. So think of even short-term freezes as well.
And what's short-term?
You know, a couple of days.
Okay.
You know, it's berry season at the supermarket. So
yeah.
A lot of times they ripen. So that's why they want to move their buy two, get one free, because those berries are going to ripen if people aren't buying them. You can take those home and just pop them in the freezer in the package just to get you from Monday to Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And then take them out instead of leaving them in your refrigerator where they're going to ripen more quickly. So even that short-term freeze is useful.
Wow, that's terrific. That's great advice. I have never frozen cheese in my life because I thought it would become rubbery.
No.
Yeah. Huh. Blocks of cheese or shredded cheese, as long as it's in the original package, which you assume is airtight.
Right, right.
It holds up and you can eat it every bit the same as you would otherwise.
It holds up. I wouldn't keep cheese in the freezer long-term, but for 2 to 3 months, it's fine. And you take it out and use it as you would.
I do blueberries all the time, but yet when they come out, they're going to be a little soggier than if you're eating fresh, but they're fine for blueberry muffins or a smoothie
or a dessert, stir into oatmeal.
Yes. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not going to have the same product with a blueberry or a strawberry because their water content is going to increase after freezing, but they're still nutrition.
That's right. Well, and so the most perishable things are fruits, vegetables, and dairy, and that's because they go bad faster than other foods. So you should try to make sure that you use them within a timely manner or pop them into the freezer, right?
And then take a look at how much you're purchasing. If you're buying a gallon of milk and you're throwing away a fourth of it every week, then maybe you don't need to buy a gallon of milk. Maybe you need to buy, a quart or a half gallon. at a time.
Is there anything you can do for milk that's on the edge?
I mean, you can freeze milk too.
Hmm.
It will expand in the container, so you want to be aware of that. So if it's a whole jug of milk you haven't opened, you want to pour a little bit out.
Okay.
And it will separate in the freezer a little bit, but you can certainly still cook with it once it's thawed, you know, shake it back up and use it in cooking. And people underestimate powdered milk too, which is kind of another option that you can keep on your shelf, maybe buy less liquid milk and then use the powdered milk for cooking or other applications.
What a great idea. Well, yeah. And most people are familiar with like powdered whey that they put in their smoothies. So it's really not too much different than what you're buying.
Right. It's also
muscle
a protein
milk or
supplement.
Whatever. Yeah. That's fabulous. All right. So let's talk about, so now dairy and fruits and vegetables, if you don't buy them fresh, you can buy them canned and frozen. But as a dietitian, what's your perspective on that?
I personally am a big fan of canned and frozen fruits and vegetables. And I think as dietitians, we really need to be promoting all forms of fruits and vegetables because we know they're loaded with antioxidants. They're good for us. They support a healthy heart and a healthy mind. Surely, if they're canned, they are going to have a higher sodium content because sodium is added as a preservative. But there are some brands that offer a lower sodium option. And I think, again, if that really depends on what else you're eating. If you're overall eating, you know, what we're kind of trying to define as a clean diet, where you're eating fruits and vegetables and whole grains, then that sodium probably isn't going to be too big of an issue. And I think we kind of send negative messages out there about the sodium in canned foods without understanding that sodium isn't an issue for everyone. For a person with high blood pressure, yes, they want to moderate their sodium intake, but everyone doesn't have high blood pressure. So I think those canned fruits and vegetables are absolutely an important part of a zero waste plan because you can keep them on the shelf for a long time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And of course, the canned fruit, that's just canned fruit. Sometimes there's sugar added. I would prefer a no sugar added fruit, or it's canned in its own juice. And then you can drain the juice and either drink it or use it in another application. But, you know, canned peaches can come in very handy when it's not peach season or you can't run to the store every week. And, you know, some people can only shop once a month. So it's mm-hmm. important that we incorporate options that are going to work. And ultimately, canned and frozen fruits and vegetables help reduce food waste.
I totally agree. I'm a big advocate of all forms of fruits and vegetables. It doesn't have to be fresh. And you can always rinse them.
Yeah.
So that beans in a can, I mean, high protein, plant protein.
Super convenient.
Absolutely. And available,
and
though you do have to take a look at the canned expiration dates on, you know, nothing lasts forever. So that's important. But I think it's really important to understand that fruits and vegetables and beans and canned foods and frozen foods have a place. They're just as healthy, or they can be just as healthy. You just have to be more careful and look at the expiration dates as well as what the ingredients are. But consider, I remember reading a study that canned beans, if you thoroughly rinse them, you can reduce the sodium by 40%.
40%.
So that's impressive.
And let me inject a little comment about those dates. So you're referring to the Best Buy dates?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because I want to talk about dates. They're so mm-hmm. confusing, and I want you to crack the code for us on how do you understand expiration on labels. So from best if used by, used before, used by, sell by, you know, the ones that deal with expiration are really the ones I think that lead to more foods being thrown out than is necessary.
Absolutely unnecessary. So those dates, there is a lot of confusion about those. And, you know, we just had baby formulas been in the news recently mm-hmm. with the shortages. So they tie into these Best Buy dates because baby formula is the only food product that is required by law to, you know, we have to stand by those best by dates. So on baby formula, best by dates matter. Mm-hmm. And that is because those dates relate to the nutrition quality of the food. And of course, we want all the nutrients on the package of that baby food to be getting to baby, because right. those are important developmental years.
Sure.
But for everything else, it really doesn't matter.
Really?
And unfortunately, there is a lot of confusion, and it's, you know, it's almost just human nature. If this says best by April 25th and today is June 9th, I can't eat this. It's got to be bad. It's old. It's expired. And that's kind of the brain process when you look at those dates. But those are put there for the purpose of quality. So we talked about the idea that in our minds, clean eating is about food safety and a well-balanced diet. There's no food safety issue with going eating something that's beyond those dates.
None. Wow.
They might. those are peak quality. So some of the nutrients may begin to deplete a little, but you know mm-hmm. that doesn't happen overnight or in a week or two. Those are only for the purpose of inventory in some cases and the quality of the food inside them, not food safety.
So what should you do? I mean, like, I use the sniff test.
Consume those foods.
Okay, consume them.
If it's a canned item, let's start with canned.
Okay.
If the can is undamaged, there's no bulging mm-hmm. Top to it or anything, but it's
no
Best
dents.
Buy a few months ago or even a year ago or 2 years ago. I recently just used a can that was from 2019.
Really?
And it
was good.
I didn't die.
Yeah. You're still here.
And it was fine. The quality was not because it had, it was actually a rice mix. And so the quality of the spices were not as flavorful, but there was not a food safety issue there. So what you want to do is, you know, you don't necessarily want to keep things for 3 years if you can avoid it. But you want to take that inventory again of what's on your shelf, you know,
use
look at the dates
yeah.
and then move mm-hmm. them up or put them on the counter so that you're
first
gonna,
in,
like,
first
okay,
out.
I gotta use
right?
that this week.
Right.
Right. And then in the case of items like bread products, if there's no visible mold, then, you know, the bread may be a little stale or, you know, it may be perfectly fine. So I found, you know, sort of a little aside, we had backyard chickens for quite a few years, and I had a neighbor who would bring scraps because we would feed the chickens. They were great recyclers to reduce food
yeah.
waste. And she would often bring buns over, you know, like a white sandwich bun type of item, because they were past their date by a few days or a week, and they were perfectly fine, perfectly fresh. And sometimes we ate them. We didn't give them to the chickens. So those best by dates are about quality, not yeah. food safety. But now we can go on to dairy.
Yeah. Bread you can toast, or you can pop it in the freezer and use it. You know, I find that old bread
yeah.
is fine if you toast it, again, looking for the mold.
But right. Make croutons.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
or,
make a bread,
you know,
pudding.
Bread pudding.
With that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Those breakfast casseroles, you know, old bread mm-hmm. is actually soaks up the egg mixture even better.
Yeah. I have a whole section on the book about using old
yeah.
bread.
When it comes to dairy, I use the sniff test. If it smells or
yes.
if it curdles my coffee, that says it all.
Right, right. Dairy is generally okay within, you know, almost up to a week after that date, but it depends on how it's stored.
Mm-hmm.
You should be storing dairy in the coldest part of your refrigerator, which is usually the bottom shelf, not on the door, not on the top. So proper storage is important. And then, yeah, that sniff test, you can smell if it's a little sour. And if it's mm-hmm. just a little sour and not curdled, you can use that, you know, to make a pound cake or mm-hmm. To make a sauce. You know, that'll be okay too.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
But ultimately, you want to buy what you're going to use.
Right. So, I mean, but cracking that code on expiration dates basically means use it as a guideline, but try to make sure you're not buying more rice when you already have it in your pantry and
right.
move those, you know, that we have a term called FIFO or FIFO. It's first in, first out, meaning that next can of vegetables, make sure you use the can ahead of it before you do. So that'll help you not keep things for years and years.
Right. And I should mention quickly, sort of to cover all bases, if it's something that with a high fat content, like nuts or peanut butter or oils, yeah. they will go rancid. So they do
have
an end date.
And you can smell that. Yeah.
And you can smell that. And again, you can freeze nuts. So you can keep them in the freezer if you buy a larger package and you don't use them quickly enough.
Yeah. I keep all my nuts in the freezer. Because I've once had, you know, the experience of that rancid and you can smell it, you know, smelling really helps you. And there is this adage that says, when in doubt, throw it out. But I know we don't want to advocate that. We want to really encourage people to be more responsible in terms of.
And food is expensive.
Yes, yes. And remember all that, you know, it's not just the food. Well, while we're in the grocery store, we have to talk about processed food. So processed food has gotten a terrible rap and it's gotten this evil connotation, but processed food is a spectrum. I mean, milk is processed. Those baby carrots are processed. I mean, you can't get the beans in the can without processing them. That's very different from what is termed, you know, ultra processed. So give us some guidance on how to navigate processed food so that we try to choose the ones that are better for us and are aware of the ones that are ultra processed.
Yes. And it's almost as if we, you know, we had to make up a new word to distinguish processed foods. So you're absolutely right. You know, a canned peach is processed, but it's still a peach and it's still good for you. So I think that, you know, a message of eliminate processed foods or even eliminate ultra processed foods, those statements are just too general for people to understand. And, you know, when we're looking at individuals all over the country who right now are struggling with food budgets and lots of other stresses and problems, we need some convenience to get dinner on the table or breakfast on the table. So I don't think demonizing processed food is a good idea. So when you're distinguishing, you know, what are the okay processed foods from the not so okay or once in a while foods, I kind of like to approach it with that balance that there are, you know, some items you might be able to purchase fresh in terms of fruits or vegetables, but that doesn't make them better than the ones that are processed
in the can.
Or in a freezer bag. What you want to look at in those processed foods are making sure that they're just mostly the food, mostly the whole food. They don't have added sugars or extra added fats. You know, you can use that food in a recipe and control the amount of fat or sweeteners that you add to it. And in terms of the ultra processed foods, you know, those are basically things that everyone knows are kind of as far away as from the natural source as possible. So we could give the example of, you know, you pick an apple off the tree, it's a whole fresh apple, unchanged from its natural state. But you take that apple and you slice it, then that's one process and eat it. Then you take it and slice it and then cook it. Well, then you're processing it further, but it's still mostly an apple. And you could even mush it up into applesauce and it's still mostly an apple. But then when that apple turns into, you know, a fruit leather that is part apple with a lot of added sugar and processed, you know, and packaged, well, then it's not quite the same apple anymore. So, you know, it's how many steps away from that natural state do we move with ultra processed foods? Things like chips and packaged items that are, you know, even some of the bars that are out there, you know, if you go to a grocery store and you go to the sports bar or nutrition bar aisle, it's overwhelming. There's so many packaged foods, and then these are the items that might even be labeled clean or all natural or all kinds of other marketing terms to make you think that this is more nutritious than if, you know, you ate an apple and a sandwich or something that's simple for most people to do. So, you know, I don't really like the term ultra processed either, because I think people are aware of what, you know, what is a healthy food and what is a treat and what is too much convenience.
It's great. You know, even these plant-based burgers that, you know, are a huge leap from what a natural burger would be. Yes, it's plant-based, but there's a lot of processing and ingredients to make it look and taste and bleed like a burger.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a broad spectrum. And even if you compare, you know, a traditional bean burger that, you know, would be a plant-based burger, but it's beans with maybe some grain or spices, so it's still processed, but it's good
more
for
identifiable.
You.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's more identifiable. You know, it comes down to choice, but I don't think that we can completely demonize all processed food for sure, because there's a lot of good nutrition there.
Totally agree. I totally agree. But you mentioned a few terms like clean and natural. Plant-based is another one.
It's a big marketing term.
Big marketing terms that you'll find on the front of packages, but none of those have legal definitions. So buyer beware, you're really, it's the manufacturer who's trying to make you think that their products are superior or have this health halo by using terms that are not regulated.
Right. And I think, you know, you and I have been around this block a few times and we've seen all of the labels, and it's whatever the trend of the year or the 5-year period is, it's all about marketing. So, you know, this is why I'm not one of these dietitians who says, oh, this is what I eat in a day, you know, eat like me, because everyone has a different cultural background, cooking background, and everyone has different food preferences. So it's not about me telling you exactly what to eat or which processed foods to eat or not eat. It's about you choosing. So, you know, maybe a frozen waffle is something somebody likes, and that's a processed food. And some people would say it's an ultra processed food. But if that's something you like and you pick that one food to put peanut butter on or slice bananas or, you know, make a healthy snack or a healthy breakfast for your child with, that's okay. You know, it's about
Absolutely.
Choosing maybe just a couple of processed foods or even ultra processed ones that you enjoy or you want to use for convenience, and then balancing it out with more whole foods. So it's
right.
about more whole foods and less processed and ultra processed. And sometimes, you know, you want a treat. You've had
right.
a bad week,
well,
and you want to have a cocktail with some ultra-processed potato chips. That's okay, too.
That's right.
So
in moderation.
Really, it always comes down to that balance. And thinking, instead of saying, you're bad for eating a frozen waffle, it's okay. Pick the one or few things that you like or that help you get through your, you know, putting meals on the table through the week. And then
balance it out. That's it.
Yeah, more of the wholesome fruits and vegetables, frozen, canned, or fresh, and good sources of protein.
Well, I'm babysitting my grandchildren this, and I fed them this morning, and they had whole grain waffles. Okay, so it's frozen, but it's whole grain.
Mm-hmm.
I have no guilt whatsoever. Peanut butter was involved, absolutely, and so was fresh fruit. So there were blueberries, and there was milk. That's a beautiful, complete breakfast. And as a dietitian, no guilt whatsoever. So I'm glad you brought up waffles.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, busy moms and dads during the school year and the summer, they need things that are quick and easy, or, you know, maybe something that their 10-year-old can do on their own and they don't want them to get the waffle iron out. So sometimes those conveniences have a place in the diet.
I totally agree. Well, I could talk to you all day, but I know I want to respect your time. But before we leave, I just want to talk a little bit about we've really covered clean eating and rethinking our shopping habits, understanding expiration dates, how important it is to reduce our food waste, but a little bit about sustainability and the way that we can protect the environment. So give us some last tidbits of advice on how, you know, being more stewards of the earth and what we can do that is beneficial to the broader concept of clean eating, but also good for the environment.
Right. And, you know, I want to bring up that the reason that food waste is an issue for the environment is that when that food waste goes to your local landfill, the rotting food emits methane gas. And we know methane gas is a harmful to the environment. So sustainability means a lot of different things to different people. And as you, I imagine, noted that when you reviewed the book or looked at it, I cover sustainability in terms of with an agricultural lens and what farmers are doing to be stewards of the land. So, you know, sustainability, one definition I have, using a resource so that it's not depleted or damaged. And I clearly remember one farm tour that I went on. I've gone on several tours, everything from beef and dairy to vegetables and fruit to pigs, all kinds of different farms and research departments at universities. And one farmer on one of the tours said, you know, my family has been farming this farm for over 100 years. So to me, that's sustainable.
Indeed. So
that is sustainability. I mean, they're using the same land, but they're, you know, and they want to protect it. It's their land. It's their livelihood. So I think as consumers, reducing food waste is one little way we can have a positive impact on the environment. And in your kitchen, you know, you want to think of other ways that you can just simply waste less, you know, from the waste end of things. Can you reuse packages? Can you switch to, you know, from using foil and plastic wrap and throwing it away to bags that can be reusable? You know, I have some beeswax wrapped cloth that I use to cover things instead of always ripping the piece of plastic off. Can we use reusable cups and all of that kind of thing?
Right.
So it's not just the food. Yeah. The food that's going into your garbage can, but all of the other ways,
the plastic
cups, the paper cups, the packaging and so forth. And, you know, that's a challenge in the food industry because packaging is a challenge when you want to transport, you know, strawberries from California to Pennsylvania or whatever. So, you know, but they're working on it. I guess I want to ensure people that the whole industry is working on being more sustainable with both their resources, their packaging, everything.
Yeah, that aluminum and glass are better than plastic. So when you have to make a choice, use the aluminum and glass and recycle these. I recently bought can crushers for myself and my children because I read that when you crush the can, it's even better for the recycling. And where I live, they won't take your glass bottles, so we have to take them separately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on your local area, your municipality, so you know, finding out what is being done in your local area. Composting is another way to reduce food waste, you know, using your food waste to create soil for your garden and that kind of thing. And some communities have composting pickups, you know, so this is, it's county by county and state by state. So as a nation, we're not really very efficient at any of this at this point.
We need to follow California's lead. They are.
So, you know, find out what is going on in your local area, if there are services you can use in terms of composting or what's recyclable. You know, read the letter that you got that says, this is what you can put in your recycle bin.
Exactly.
People put everything in there and then they don't sort it. So it, you know, it doesn't get recycled anyway. So put the things that your county is actually recycling in there.
Social responsibility. And we just put a bin in the garage and we put glass in there. And then when it's full, we take it to the place that does it.
So. And reuse your own things. You know, I'm very proud of our younger generation. There seems to be a trend for, you know, thrifting and going and buying old stuff and using it instead of buying more stuff. So even in your kitchen, if you have a jar of tomato sauce or jelly that you used, save the jar and use it to store spices or use it to shake up a salad dressing.
Right.
Instead of throwing it away, you know, use it in your own household.
And if you have a dishwasher and you're running it anyway, you know, you can add it to that.
Yeah.
Roseanne, this has been fabulous. I'm inspired. I was so inspired by reading your Zero Waste Cooking for Dummies. And you've really given us some great things to think about. I mean, I think clean eating encompasses way more than clean or dirty. You know, it's not about the plant-based diet. And I think we both totally agree. You know, we advocate for that, you know, good, a plant-forward diet. But there's lots of flexibility in how you choose to do it. And clean means more than just the quality of your food. It's how you handle it, what you buy, how you manage it. And with a focus on being a steward of the earth and reducing, doing your part to reduce food waste. So thank you, my friend. This was terrific. And I really appreciate you being a guest on the podcast today.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Thanks, Roseanne.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the True Health Revealed podcast. We appreciate your time and hope you'll join us again. For more information on today's episode and to subscribe to future podcasts, please visit truehealthinitiative.org. And to help us continue the fight against fake facts, please consider donating to our nonprofit True Health Initiative.